Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it.
Gene Wilder, probably his. I don't most famous role. It's hard to tell.
I would say the one that stood. I don't know. Don't you think most? It's like almost like a requisite part of childhood to see that film.
Right.
And I even know my daughter's generation, she's four, they're watching it. So for generations, you've seen that and your imagination became more vivid because of it. It's such a magical movie. And his performance makes it.
Really? More than Blazing Saddles?
I think so. This is why
I'm a young Frankenstein fan myself.
Yeah. Well, me too. But you know, the
Willy Wonka, though?
I think that Violetta and Kevin know him because Gene Wilder's career took off in 1967. He had a small role in Bonnie and Clyde. And then it went from that to immediately to The Producers. And so those movies came out within a couple of, I think, weeks of each other in 1967.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Willy Wonka for me, no question.
Yeah, and so I don't think you guys would have known. Have you guys seen Bonnie and Clyde?
I have not.
No.
Young
Negative.
Frankenstein?
Negative.
I have seen Young Frankenstein for sure. But
Blazing Saddles?
Bits and Pieces.
Not politically correct? Well, you can't just see bits and pieces of Young.
I saw some Saddles. YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Some clips.
Well, that's the thing with Willy Wonka, like that's. All ages will watch the movie, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's, growing up, I don't know how many times I watched that.
Variety did a poll, which is your favorite, and so far Young Frankenstein is winning with 34%, Willy Wonka second with 27%.
I still open chocolate thinking I'm going to find a gold wrapper.
It's true. It's like that chocolate river.
Oh,
my daughter asked,
river,
can we go there? Is there a place we can go and do that? I'm like, no.
Can
Violet. Violet always got my name, you know? I'm like, am I Violet?
Is that the one who ate the bubble gum and blew up?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh,
Dr.
my God.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Stein, yeah. Stein, yes. Oh, my God. You think of all the other actors in that movie.
And call me
totally.
Igor. All right, let's go through a little bit of this. Let's start with Bonnie and Clyde. Because people may not even remember this, but he was kidnapped. This is his first major film role. His first major time. He'd been in a couple of television shows before this. But then he appears in what is, to this day, considered one of the great crime movies of all times.
I'm from Wisconsin originally, where the cheese comes from.
Oh, but he just loves Texas now, don't you, Eugene?
Don't sell that cow.
And he is from Wisconsin.
It's funny because he has to play, now obviously he wanted to be a tough guy, and then he gets taken in by Bonnie and Clyde, and he tries to be charming. He tries to be, and again, it's a character that he has fully built. And then we move on to The Producers.
I'm hysterical. I can't stop when I get like this. Oh, no. I'm wet. I'm hysterical and I'm wet.
See, it just makes you laugh. Just hearing that one line.
Blazing Saddles.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know, morons.
There is a, there's a moment that movie, and for those who have not seen that movie, it's funny because they just did a screening of it here in Chicago. Mel Brooks was here for it because it is the, what is it? It's we're at the 42nd anniversary of that movie. And he talked about what it was to make that movie. You could not make that movie today. It is a turning point indictment of racism and language and misunderstanding. And that movie today, I swear to God, you know, I mean, I don't know that Barack Obama has been the greatest president in American history. I think there are a lot of people who make the argument he was and he hasn't been. But the one thing I do, I always think about, take the experience out of it of the politics. He must watch that movie and laugh, because maybe not now because he's still in the middle of it, but once he's out of office, because there are so many pieces of that movie of Blazing Saddles that I think are applicable to the experience of Barack Obama getting to Washington, becoming president of the United States. Because he does become the sheriff of Rockridge in a lot of respects. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, there's moments where there's, you know, people trying to work with him and not work with him. And, you know, what is it? And there's that movie is such an amazingly brave piece of social commentary that, again, you couldn't make because the language is so rough. Mm-hmm. And you could not even possibly imagine how they, even in the 1970s when they made that, I remember my dad took me to that movie. And my mom was yelling at him about, because it had heard about, you know, well, this is that and Bonnie and Clyde. There was a fight in my house about whether or not I could go see them when I was very young.
Too
raunchy. There's also, you know, some body sex scenes in all of them. Mm-hmm. My God, there's an incredible sex scene in Young Frankenstein.
That's right.
That you have to kind of, I mean, there's, you have to use your imagination for, but they kind of give you the sense of what goes on there.
That's such a great film, though.
Yes. Oh, here's a little Young Frankenstein for you.
Okay.
Abby someone. Abby who? Abby Normal. Abby Normal. I'm almost sure that was the name. Are you saying that I put an abnormal brain into a 7.5 foot long, 54 inch wide gorilla? Is that what you're doing me? Great gorilla!
Marty Feldman, that's such a great, oh, it's one of the best scenes. Love that, when he switches the brain. And then when his freakouts, his like hysteria, you know, and somehow he's still so likable and he has those tender moments.
Right. It needs it, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier. He acted with his eyes.
Mm.
You know, he was a guy that could find a way, find that moment where he didn't have to say a word. You could, mm-hmm. with the expression on his face and the movement of his eyes told the entire story.
So true.
Yeah. Now what's interesting, so if you take his career from the 1960s into the 1970s, and he had that entire run with Mel Brooks, which was pretty incredible, mm-hmm. because you've got, like as I said, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, and The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother, which was the same production company. It wasn't directed by Mel Brooks,
mm-hmm.
Or written by him, but it's the same thing. The World's Greatest Lover. He then did Silver Streak.
What are you doing?
I'm getting bad. You better get bad, Jack, because you ain't bad. You're going to get f***ed. You're bad. They don't mess with you. Yeah. Hey, Holmes, get down.
Hey.
You're a little too bad, ain't you?
Yeah. Do some of these.
Right on.
Yeah.
So, and now, what an odd pairing, right? To take Gene Wilder and put him with Richard Pryor. But it worked.
It totally worked.
Totally. And
people say those are some of his best films when they were together.
Right, because they worked off of each other. These two comedic geniuses. He had a stage genius in Richard Pryor that was an uncontrollable comic energy. And then you got Gene Wilder, who was this great screen guy, and they seemed to learn from each other in those films. It was just an amazing thing. And then his life, his personal life, at approximately that time, is he got involved with Gilda Radner. They right. were married. Apparently, you know, one of those sort of, you know, star-struck
sure.
love affairs.
He was making the movie Hanky Panky, which I never saw, but he fell in love with co-star Gilda Radner on that movie set.
1982. And mm-hmm. they were married, and then Gilda Radner died, you know, in fairly short order.
1989. So, yeah, just 5 years later of ovarian cancer. And then they started the Gilda's Clubs, and we have one here in Chicago. I know my mom went there after my father passed away. They have so many wonderful programs.
He, and actually, from that era, he only did three other films after Gilda Radner passed away that he starred in that were actual movie, you know, theatrical releases, and they did some TV work after that, but right. he never really worked.
He became an advocate for cancer research and did some writing, but you're right. He hadn't taken any starring roles for sure after that.
Well, also millennials will remember him for the meme that he has on Facebook, the condescending Wonka. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, I've
There's
seen
all
that.
Sorts of them.
His hand on his face being like, go on.
Right.
Yes, I've seen that.
It's just a perfect photo for the meme because it's...
Well, you
like
could say
with
anything.
The eyes. Yeah, exactly.
He wrote Young Frankenstein. People, I think, they always assume it's all Mel
you
Brooks.
That.
He actually did the, he came up with the story for it, brought it to Mel Brooks, and then they worked on it together to write the screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. I mean,
think about that.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about the incredible amount of just skill and comedic thinking that goes into it, let alone his performance. It's just amazing.
Apparently, the HuffPost is reporting that I didn't know how sick he was, and apparently one of his family is now saying that one of the reasons he kept his illness such a secret was to protect his young Willy Wonka fans from being confronted with an adult referencing illness or troubles, and he didn't want that to be part of the narrative. But... Alzheimer's is ultimately, they're saying complications is what claimed his life.
Gene Wilder was 83 years old.